started.
Okay.
All right, thank you all. We will start talking about something a little more material, if not very material, which is important, about money. And I'd like to just explain why this topic came about, in my mind at least. We had a few meditations we did with JJ a while back, and he mentioned in a 30-second segment that there is a lack of support or funds being raised for the work of the Christ. And it hit a note because I had seen that spoken by DK as well. We have this issue that we haven't quite grasped or understood, at least in my mind, and I wanted to bring it up so we can do a roundtable discussion a little bit, because I believe that everybody in here pretty much represents the majority, because you all have different backgrounds, and on the spectrum of the type of people we can meet in our daily lives, I think we have everybody here pretty much fills that. And I really want to get many of your input on this topic, because there have been many wrongs, and I think we have an opportunity to right these wrongs and to learn from the past mistakes going forward. How can we do things differently? And so your thoughts are very much welcome, and I really want to hear them. So I'll start with a few fun facts, and I say this without a spirit of animosity, it's just this is what we find on Google. I'd like to talk about the estimated wealth of the church.
Which church?
First on the list is found, well, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The estimated worth is $265 billion USD. That's more than Elon Musk. Calculate whichever way you want, yeah, and there's a lot of interest being made on that too. We have second in place the Catholic Church, and it specifies Germany, between 47 and 265 billion.
There's the Mormon Church is worth more than the Catholic Church.
Well, yep. And then it talks about the wealth of the Vatican. Interestingly, this one, I quote, it says unknown. So if anybody would like, go to Rome, enter St. Peter's Basilica, look up the ceiling, and you just take a wild guess how much you think the Vatican is worth and just multiply that by 100.
Worth a lot of money.
So there's a reason why it's unknown. So take these into your mind right now, put it on the shelf, okay, what I just said in terms of facts on the wealth of the church. I had read DK's Problems of Humanity, the book, small book, and he talks about, he has a whole chapter dedicated on the failure of the churches, which I found very interesting. Very interesting because he wrote this in the 40s. Okay, fine, we're in the billions right now in terms of wealth, but these churches, well, church in general, like they were pretty wealthy in the 40s as well. Why is a Tibetan master dedicating a whole chapter on the failure of the churches? Where have we gone wrong? So I looked into it, and I will quote something to you, which resonated with me. I'd just like for you to listen to this with an open mind. He says, "Let us remember, Christ has not failed. It is the human element which has failed, and which has thwarted his intentions and prostituted the truths which he presented. Theology, dogma, doctrine, materialism, politics, and money have created a vast dark cloud between the churches and God. They have shut out the true vision of God's love, and it is to this vision of a loving reality and to a vital recognition of its implications that we must return." It's his hard call, and when I read this, you do realize, okay, we would like to believe that the majority of what the church has done was right, but for him to say something so powerful and so firm kind of shook me when I read this. And then further on he says, "The question arises whether Christ would be at home in the churches if he walked again among men. The rituals and the ceremonies, the pomp and the vestments, the candles and the gold and silver, the graded order of popes, cardinals, archbishops, canons and ordinary rectors, pastors and clergy would seemingly have small interest to the simple Son of God who, when on earth, had nowhere to lay his head." So this is pretty powerful food for thought when I read this. You would think if he were to be here, he'd find an abode house somewhere where he can just develop his, I guess, his new teachings and be able to find listeners, people who are ready to receive, but from what we read, the case is not so. In another book that Bailey wrote, In the Reappearance of the Christ, so this was published in 1947, D.K. talked about the lack, chapter, on the lack of financial support for the work of the Christ. And he talks a lot about the novelty and difficulty of raising funds in preparation for the return of the Christ. Interesting he said that, because the LDS Church does have, I think, I'm not sure how much of billions is allocated for this, but the allocation is for, you'll correct me, Manu, or anybody else in this, for the second return of the Christ. And so DK outlines five prerequisites for pretty much preparing oneself to raise, you know, the financial support for the work of the Christ. The first one kind of struck me. Would you like to take a wild guess, just shout it out? What do you think the first prerequisite is for people who wish to raise financial support for the work of the Christ?
Willingness.
Willingness? Anybody else?
You mean what type of attitude we should have, or what's
required? Do you think it's structure? Do you think it's organization, willingness, creativity? What do you think is required?
Brotherhood.
Spirit of sharing.
Spirit of sharing. Scott?
I think it would be... I think it'd be the same as what Christ did with his healing or his miracles, not for himself, but for, you know, he only did his miracles for others, not for himself.
Service.
So it'd be something like that.
Service.
The LDS scripture said there is no poor among them, that there can't be any poor among the people.
That's in line with sharing a little bit.
Right.
Okay. Curtis, any thoughts? Any thoughts?
Any thoughts?
What do you think the first prerequisite
is? See a need and fill it. See a need. If you have to be available with money that you have, and if you see a need, fill it.
Fill it.
Be willing
okay.
to give.
Probably an unwillingness to sacrifice would be a big one. Or unwillingness to be inconvenienced.
Well, the first one he states is, believe it or not, courage.
Courage, huh?
This is what he, very interesting. He says, a great campaign to raise money is not demanded, but the selfless work of thousands of apparently unimportant people is required. I would say that the most needed quality is courage. It takes courage to put aside diffidence, shyness, and the dislike of presenting a point of view, particularly a point of view connected with money. It is here that the majority fail. It is relatively easy today to raise money for Red Cross, hospitals, educational institutions. You could put renowned church institutions in this batch as well.
Yeah, and colleges. Colleges have a ton of money.
Right. It is exceedingly difficult to raise money for the spread of goodwill or to secure the right use of money for forward-looking ideas such as the return of the Christ. Therefore, I say that the first prerequisite is courage. Does that resonate with you or what?
You know, the fear of the unknown, of course, we fear if we give our money, we'll have a lack. We fear that we won't be whatever, you know, there's that fear of the unknown, and the resolution to that is courage.
It is, and JJ said something yesterday about, during your meditation, I think it was about feeling embarrassed that if you try to heal someone that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You talked about that aspect of embarrassment, and I think this could tie in with, if you lack courage, it could be also because you're embarrassed to present a point of view that's not quite popular, you're not sure if everyone's going to catch on and what that would look like for others, and I think it's something that is tied to that as well. You have a question? Or?
Well, I was going to say, like courage to believe in another system, because I feel like, for example, like you give to American Red Cross, you know, then Time Magazine comes out with how wealthy these CEOs of Red Cross do, so then how much percentage of what you did actually benefited other people. So we constantly are being invited to put money into something, but the courage to believe in a leader who actually does what he says he's going to do is very low. I think we've coming to the storehouse, and we had many believers that were putting in there, but it was for our own personal income. So again, it's just trust, having the courage to trust again in the systems and that the leader knows what they're doing.
Yeah, but keep that with something else that you said. Remember what you just said, because the fifth prerequisite is going to tie in well with what you just said. So the second one is for everyone to give as they can. This is an interesting one too. He says the difficulty is not with the organizing of the money. Again, he restates this. The organization part is not the problem. So you can easily organize something to raise funds. It lies with the seeming inability of people to give. For one reason or another, they gave little or nothing, even when interested in such a cause as that of the return of Christ. Fear of the future, or the love of purchasing, or the desire to give presents, or failure to realize that many small sums mount up into very large sums. All these things militate against financial generosity, and the reasons always seem adequate. So this.
Did you say that part again?
Fear of the future, or the love of purchasing, or the desire to give presents, or failure to realize that many small sums mount up into very large sums. All these things militate against financial generosity, and the reason always seems adequate. So people will always find excuses, or they'll say, "Oh, it doesn't matter. Even if I give a dollar, it won't matter much. So I'm just not going to give." Or, you know, that line of thinking where you think it doesn't, you won't make a difference. That comes into. You have any thoughts on that, Scott?
Well, it just sounds like rationalizing. You know?
Yeah.
I think that's one thing that for me seems to be missing is that ambition and purpose. You know, if we could come together with some group purpose, you know, the idea of the return of Christ is a good thing, but you know, who are you going to give money to further the return of the Christ? To the church, to this organization or that one. We have to have a clear vision of purpose. Now, there are groups in the world who are doing good for people. I have a friend that builds schools in Africa, and I donate to him because his purpose of raising these indigenous people to a point of intelligence. But we have to have a vision. What is the best purpose for our giving? What can we do?
So how, when churches were started, what was the purpose then?
To spread the word of God.
So the word of God, it seems every turn of the age, there was a Piscean, the word of God had a little different flavor to it.
Right,
and now, we're entering the Aquarian age, and now it's going to have it adapts. It updates itself and it's presented anew.
We stand on the foundation of the past. We build the next, which is the age of Aquarius.
Right. And I make all things new. That whole concept comes into line with what you said. But the purpose and vision, I would assume, would be the same, spreading the word of God and establishing the kingdom of God here on this planet.
Yeah, but what are you going to give money to spread the word of God? You know, I mean, there has to be some group that's willing to have a clear vision and be willing to do the work.
Yeah, and have pure hearts.
Well, you have to have discernment. So yeah. And that requires wisdom. You know, where am I going to put my money? And then you have to have a willingness to give it. You know, I've got some to give. Where do I give it? I'm willing to give it. You know, fill in the blank.
Yeah, I mean, for a long time, I felt great about tithing and plus to the LDS Church. It was easy to do. It felt good. You know, I'd read about the educational programs and things we were doing, so heck yeah, I'll throw money. It was from the heart. And then you start hearing about, well, a lot of it has to do with the global warming in Salt Lake, and, you know, stock in Coca-Cola and Pfizer, and what the hell am I giving money to this for? This is just, so it's been really difficult for me to separate that out. Because I think when you have money, I mean, you're the steward over that. That also represents your life force. So, where do I direct that to where it will do the most good? And I mean, there are a number of organizations that feel really good about giving to the best. That one's been a real struggle for the last couple of years.
Interesting. Any other comments? comment on this prerequisite? The third one he mentions is the service of the one humanity. He says, in the new age which is upon us, prior to the return of the Christ, the demand for financial support must be for the bringing about of right human relations and goodwill, and not for the growth of any particular organization. Aha. The organization so demanding must work with the minimum of overhead and central plant, and the workers for the minimum, yet reasonable salary. Not many such organizations exist today, but the few now functioning can set an example which will be rapidly followed as the desire for the return of Christ grows. How many times do we see in the news how much CEOs make or whatever, even if it's a non-profit organization or something, it gets you sick to the stomach. So this is something that I find with the age of technology, we're informed so much more, and people with their discernment question things a lot more. So I do believe there's a shift happening here. A lot of people pulling out, uncertain, untrustworthy towards certain things, questioning a lot, and probably at a standstill where they just don't know where to put, they just don't decide, they wait. I've met a lot of people in my line of business in that, who are in that frame of mind. So I find that there is an interesting shift happening.
In what area? With charities?
With charities, with where do you give, and they do research, and they find out, and if someone is tainted in a negative way, the person, it'll come out in the news. Like in no time, it's going to come out, and when the spotlight is on you, it'll just destroy you and your world, and whatever else you want to do later on. So there's a, you know, it's to their own detriment that people are acting certain ways. And if their love of money and materialism takes over them, then there's a really hefty price to pay. So I think there's a shift going on that end.
The problem is, and I think, and I haven't read that, this book that you're talking about, which you got this from with DK, but I think what he's saying here was the problem with the churches, with religions in general, is that doesn't happen to them, what you're talking about, because spotlights are put on them for not using the money correctly and for using the money that they receive to spread the word of God. Spotlights are put on them when they use it inappropriately, okay? But nothing happens because they fly false flags. They gather the money under the flag of we need to spread the gospel, and every religion has the way of explaining that we've got to spread the gospel. We're under a direct command from God to spread the gospel, and but then the real purpose is for something else, and it's every religion does it under the threat of spiritual death. If you don't do it, you're going to go to hell. Even the Mormons, and for those who don't know, I was born and raised, I went on a mission, married in the temple, so forth. So I'm not unintelligent about this. The Mormons have their way of saying that if you don't pay your tithing, you're not going to go to the highest kingdom. You're not going to have a temple recommend, you're not going to have your calling and election made sure, and those type of things. You have to pay to play, and so you pay or you go to hell. That's why the churches are so wealthy. And you just said, DK just said, requirement is you can't ask for money to grow the organization. They all ask for money to grow the organization. They grow the organization, and they don't do anything else. They grow the organization. It's the same thing with mainly the Mormons and the Catholics saying, God commanded Adam and Eve to reproduce, and he never took away that commandment, so we got to get going, you know? But that's another false flag. They're flying this flag. God told us to do this, so we got to get busy. But the real flag that they're flying is we know that our retention rate is better if we raise someone in the church as opposed to conversion. That's the real reason. And just a lot of deception. A lot of deception.
So you see where the course correction needs to be made for future.
I see where details go. It's a big, huge mess.
Yes, and where he wants you to correct. Because these are all things that, these are the prerequisites if you want to do this right. See, he's noticed all of everything that you said. He's seen it, and it's not just in the LAS, but a lot of churches. So, and they just have different names. So this is something that he's specifying for those new age, whatever, workers. Those are the ones who will come about and establish a group or formation or whatever, call it whatever you want, to make sure to keep this in check, because it was not kept in check, because everything is going towards growing the organization instead of the real true purpose. The fourth one he mentions, which is an interesting one, the careful presentation of the cause. The fourth prerequisite must be the careful presentation of the cause for which the financial support is required. People may have the courage to speak, but an intelligent presentation is of equal importance. I found this very interesting, because if you walk into a board and you start talking about concept, it becomes very abstract, fast. So you have to have a really solid, not just solid, but a structured way of presenting this. So the presentation, he allots a lot of importance to it, because it's part of the prerequisite. So don't just come in and have the courage to do something. You've got to have organization behind it. You have to be structured. It has to be intelligible. It has to be comprehensible to the people you're presenting, to bring it down to whichever level you need to. But study your people. Study your audience. Do something that's going to be intelligible. Like, people are going to understand and follow you on that.
It's the sales aspect
that he brings in there, which I find really interesting. This is a material segment of his prerequisites. The fifth one is a very interesting one, and the last, and then you'll see, Emmanuel, where it's going with this. He talks about a vital and sure belief in humanity as a whole. He says, there must be no pessimism as to the future of mankind or distress over the disappearance of the old order. The good, the true, and the beautiful is on its way. We are passing through the stage where everything is being proclaimed from the housetops, JJ said this the other day, as Christ stated would be the case. And as we listen to or read of the flood of filth, crime, and sensual pleasure or luxury buying, we are apt to be discouraged. It is wise to remember that it is wholesome for all this to come to the surface and for us all to know about it. It is like the psychological cleansing of the subconscious to which individuals submit themselves. It presages the inauguration of a new and better day. And to come back to what you were saying, Scott, you know, in the LDS church, there was a whistleblower not that long ago. Yeah, there was a case. And a lot of people now come out anonymously and say, hey, this is supposed to go to charitable funds. It's not. It's been sitting in the funds for so long, and you're not being taxed. Like, what, you know, because they're saying it's charitable, so it's non-taxable. So a lot of these things, and this is just one small example, but there's so many different organizations being proclaimed from the rooftop, like, this is internet. Oh, look what happened. I just videotaped somebody doing something. It just pops out so fast now at such an incredible speed. It's going to be hard for people to maintain this old structure. And the distrust that people have donating to a certain cause, it's going to start to be easily checked. Easily, if there's something wrong with it, I believe, sooner or later, something is going to come out. And the filth and the impurities that are taking place in certain organizations, as well guarded as they want to be, eventually will surface. And it's a good thing, because it does inaugurate, and this is how it's always been, right? Over the course of centuries, the old ways just die out and something new comes and takes its place. Better version, not just different, but a better. Sorry, you wanted to say something?
No,